company seems unable to understand that it's in their own best interest to make things as open as possible and as liberal as possible to get the job done. We'll keep saying it and we'll keep working to make it so. We don't have an appetite to give, and had the company availed itself of the offers we had previously made, we'd be in better shape today, and I can say that with confidence.
Welcome back to another 5x5. This is APA Communications Director Greg Overman, along with Captain Eric Ferguson, APA President, and Captain John Owens, who serves as Deputy Chair of the Union's Communications Committee. Captain Ferguson and Captain Owens will be addressing some of the recent messages that APA leadership has received via Sound Off, which enables members at large to send emails to their elected APA officers. We want to help make sure the membership knows where APA stands on the issues of the day. And it's also important to correct any misinformation that may be circulating. And for those members who take the time to use Sound Off, thank you. Your engagement is vital. With that, Captain Owens.
Good morning. Thank you, Greg. Good morning, Captain Ferguson.
Morning.
Yeah, we take the sound offs that come in very seriously. It's the very first thing I do every day when I wake up. I have a cup of coffee and I read through those. And then we discuss them, your officers and your board and subject matter experts. We also make sure that everything is looked at. And if there's issues that come in, we discuss them. Captain Ferguson, if I may, the first one is from a 777 captain. And this is in Miami. And he says, the rumor is that APA is working on a letter of agreement to help the company deal with their self-inflicted operational wounds. Any agreements should be sent to the membership for approval, and any agreement should really be a whole new contract. If that can't happen, you should walk away. If you can't get a new contract and you don't have the wherewithal to walk away, then an LOA should be a get only, no give. And there's also rumor that there's some backroom deals happening. Captain Ferguson, would you be willing to take a shot at that?
Absolutely. Thanks, John, for being here today. Captain Owens, Mr. Overman. So that's a, you know, we certainly appreciate the input. And of course, there's always rumors flying. But as a couple of reminders here, so we're in Section 6, as everybody's well aware. And so I'll look to Article 12D about basic collective bargaining agreements and the membership ratification thereof. So Article 12D speaks to this, and it says basic collective bargaining agreements and agreements or affiliations or mergers with other labor organizations shall be submitted to the Board of Directors for approval. After reviewing the agreement, the Board of Directors shall vote to approve or reject the agreement. Only agreements approved by the Board of Directors by majority vote, both one man, one vote, and roll call vote shall be forwarded to the affected membership for ratification vote. So if it's a basic collective bargaining agreement, meaning something that we would sign under Section 6, it has to go to the board. The board has to approve, and it has to go to the membership. Individual LOAs dealing with specific crises that arise, and we did 11 of them last year, such as the VPLOAs back in, 2020, March 2020, LOA 2001. We've done a lot of LOAs to deal with the crises at hand and chart a path through the COVID storm, which we did with as successfully as anybody, frankly. So those were specific and focused areas. As far as helping the company and no gets, it is our company. We do need to survive, but that doesn't mean we let them walk all over us. And our proposals, both in Section 6 related to scheduling matters, are all designed to drive flexibility, transparency, and reliability for the pilots, which of course will yield the same for the company. We've been saying it loud and clear. The company should have taken us up long ago in the early days of Section 6 bargaining before the COVID crises arose to negotiate and ratify those concepts. We'd be in better shape today if that had been done. So let me wrap it all back up here. So this is a representational democracy. The board makes decisions on behalf of the membership. The membership does not vote on every last LOA or grievance settlement that the president might broker with the company as well. But basic collective bargaining agreements have to be approved by the board and sent to the membership. Other LOAs that are more specific dealing with, again, the situation that might arise may or may not go to the membership. But I can assure you there's no appetite to help the company in any way that doesn't concurrently help the pilots. And that's what we'll do. And the board also has to approve these agreements and has done a fine job recently and will continue to do so. The negotiating committee is always engaged, seeking to make improvements on behalf of the membership. So that's where we are. If it's a basic collective bargaining agreement covering multiple sections, it'll go to the membership. If it is something more focused, it may not. But I can tell you, there we don't have an appetite to give, and had the company availed itself of the offers we had previously made, we'd be in better shape today. And I can say that with confidence.
All right, Captain Ferguson, this next sound off was very interesting. Both Greg and myself caught it. And let me read you the text. This is from a 737 first officer in Dallas, Fort Worth. She says, what is going on with TTO and TTOT and TTS? They are basically useless for July. It seems like only trips that are trading or dropping are trips smack dab in the middle of the week. I'm a serial trip trader, and I've never seen a lockdown so tight. This is what was really interesting, Captain Ferguson. I can't even trade a two-day trip, weekend trip at the end of the month to volunteer to work for a three-day trip over the 4th of July. I get the company is short-staffed. When would they learn that locking things down like this will just make their problems worse?
Okay. Thank you for that. That's a great question. And it goes back to the first answer as well, in that too often the company just works against itself here. The reliability, flexibility things we've been seeking are key talking points that our proposals in the section six scheduling zone all were designed to revolve around increasing pilot flexibility, because people have different needs and looks to make these managerial decisions must be like a funhouse mirror, because it makes no sense whatsoever to at a time when you're short on staff to lock things down on the notion that that is going to be how you better crew a reliable airline. You're better off opening up the flexibility on things versus the other way around. We've been telling the company that, but it seems unable to take that leap of faith. And in fact, violates the contract because its notion is so strong that it cannot trust its pilots to fly the flights that need to be flown. Again, to serve our pilots, our membership, passengers, the flying public. We'll do it. We'll show up, but you got to give us the flexibility to fill the seats, and they won't do it. So this issue as of late, we call it Force Red, filed a presidential grievance on it just last week related to Force Red, TTS, TTOT, complete lockdown and certain statuses, which just makes absolutely no sense and violates the contract badly as well, in our view. So we're going to fight to put a stop to it, but the company seems unable to understand that it's in their own best interest to make things as open as possible and as liberal as possible to get the job done. We'll keep saying it, and we'll keep working to make it so.
Excellent. All right, Captain Ferguson. And one of the other overarching issues facing our pilots, you know, and has been sort of memorialized in the cheese plate comment, is the difficulty in getting fed. And often with the, you know, to make matters worse, we have a scheduling system that is changing schedules on a short window. And that may even force a pilot to have more difficulty getting in something to eat where his original pairing was scheduled to have a crew meal. The new pairing trip does not.
Thank you for that, John. Yes, the cheese tray has become a running joke. The cheese plates we've had to endure continuously since the beginning of the pandemic have become less and less appetizing, if you will. It's not something you should subject yourself to day in and day out physiologically. But crew meals have always been an issue here. And pre-pandemic, you know, the company would generally feed you as required. The contract speaks to the when, not so much the what. It says adequate nutrition, but of course, even since those words were inked, the view of adequate nutrition has evolved. Nutrition science has evolved. So we know we were lagging then, and you would have a wide disparity in food offerings pre-pandemic anyway. But you would normally get fed when you were supposed to get fed. And if you did not get fed, you could step off the airplane and find appropriate food and provide a expense that. So I've recently reminded senior management that they need to perhaps liberalize their policies on that. When you are able to find food, or you've got your third cheese tray of the day and you just can't stomach it anymore, find yourself some good nutrition and expense it. The company should be willing
to pay for that. And I know that's not a great answer right now, but the reality is the company is also struggling with logistical challenges, not of their making, coming out of the pandemic. It's hard to find labor. It's hard to find caterers. It's hard to find people to drive the catering to the airport and board it. So this is a huge struggle. And it seems in many ways that the crew meals are an afterthought. Do not cut yourself short. Don't go hungry, and do not settle for something that you know you shouldn't be eating three times a day. Find some food, expense it. I know it's problematic, but don't just overlook it or go hungry. It's important. It's important for people to think straight. And the company knows this. We brought it to their attention. They know they're struggling because they struggle with the same logistics in the back for the passengers as well. But coming out of this, it's my goal to actually work with the company here collaboratively. We have a pilot occupational health subcommittee of Aeromedical that is looking into the viable options for us in the future as soon as we can get those things implemented. Again, we have contractual language that obligates the company to feed us. They have done better or worse at times, depending on what's going on. And they've done better or worse at times for the content. But really, we want to make long-term improvements. Interestingly enough, we hadn't made proposals around feeding and food options in Section 6. So the board and the leadership over time, as we set up our openers and made our proposals, didn't feel that this was an area requiring new contractual language. But the existing language should give us the latitude to get the food we need that is both appealing and nutritious. And it's in the company's best interest to do that as well. So we're going to try to force it and get things improved rapidly. In the meantime, don't settle for going hungry or inadequate nutrition. Your job and the passenger safety depends on it as well.
Well, we will continue to look forward to reading the sound offs that come in daily. It's a very important part of our job, and it helps us really get a sense of where the membership is. It's good to hear their voice, because after all, that's the voice that we represent.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your time this morning, Captain Owens. Thank you for your volunteerism. So I look forward to next time. Thank you.
Gentlemen, great discussion. And for everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Until next time.